are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Winky Wednesday edition of the show. That means Nick Winkler is standing by. Before we bring Nick on the show, I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show if you can. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can find this show and all of the programs on the network just about anywhere, including Locked On NFL, also hosted by myself and former NFL scout Matt Williamson, and covering every team in the league, not just the 49ers. So that's a daily podcast that you should also be subscribing to. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's where some of these questions are going to come from. The others are going to come probably from email. That is LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
What's up, my man?
2-0, baby. That's how you start a preseason right there.
Yeah, the path to 23-0 to finish this thing strong, right?
Yeah, man, that's how you get going. Your quarterback looks horrible. Your offensive line can't block anybody. But, hey, it's a win.
How good is your team when you can just roll through and beat teams when your starting quarterback completes one of six passes?
Zero.
A zero rating.
Passer rating.
That's how good the 49ers are.
He did not look good. He did not look good. Not all his fault. I mean, we saw it. The protection wasn't great. A couple tip balls, you know. But, you know, those passes, the pick and then the near pick, like that, those should not have been thrown.
Yeah, Shanahan talked about it today, and he said that he's got to throw the ball away or at worst take a sack, but you can't just chuck the ball up. And actually, that throw was going to Breida. That's where it was intended, and he just
chucked
it and was getting hit. And yeah, you got to be smart with the football. And he's definitely rusty, and he admitted that he was rusty. And that brings up my question, and I talked about it on yesterday's show. Is Jimmy Garoppolo, and maybe he'll play a half next week and then sit in the fourth preseason game? Is he two quarters away from being ready to play high-level football in week one? I mean, that's a little bit frightening now.
Yeah, I feel like he needs work. He looked nervous out there. He looked rusty. You know, again, he didn't have time. I don't know if it was Staley or Tomlinson with the miscommunication and the protection there on that pick. But, he just didn't look like a quarterback who was prepared. He looked like a guy that hadn't played football in a really long time, and the speed was very fast. And he didn't make good decisions with it. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, maybe you let him start the third quarter next week and you just give him some time out there. You call fewer runs. You just give him as much chance, you know, to get out there and shake the rust off. Because, yeah, you don't want to play him in that fourth preseason game. But if he goes out again and looks bad, I mean, do you have to?
You got to get him ready. And I know you want to keep him healthy, but what good is being healthy if he's not ready to play in week one? So, yeah, hopefully you see a completely different number one offense on the field in Kansas City. By the way, the same field that he tore his ACL on this week. And it's a crazy run here because things go pretty fast. There's three games in 10 days, and then there's cutdown day right after that fourth preseason game about 10 days from now. So things happening very quickly, and there's still some fights for the roster spot. And did you see anything in this preseason game that you loved, that you didn't love? Maybe some players that you think have a shot to make the roster that you didn't before, or players that you're like, let's get rid of this guy and move on.
I'm 100% on the Richie James bandwagon with you. Like, I'm never against the guy. You know, I always thought like, oh, he looks good, you know, but no, he really stood out. Those returns were fantastic. I think he made a catch too, and made a couple moves, and he just looked like a playmaker. I mean, Debo, obviously, that run was amazing. Those long strides, man, it kind of reminded me a little bit of John Taylor. He was fun to watch. Ooh. Mostert looked good. Wilson Jr. was running hard. He did get blown up on that sack of Mullins late in the game, so maybe he needs to work a little bit on his pass protection. But Solomon Thomas, too, on the defensive side of the ball, he looked good, man. He looks like he was faster and stronger than everybody else out there. And I know he's probably playing a bunch of against twos and threes and guys that aren't going to make the squad, but he just looked fierce. He looked like he was eager, and he just wanted the ball. He wanted the quarterback. He wanted to make plays. So that was really fun to watch. Tart, too, looked good. Had a nose for the ball. A couple bad guys out there. Like, not necessarily bad, but, like, where was Jalen Hurd? You know, like, I didn't really hear his name. But Dante Pettis had one ball thrown his way, which he was actually open. And that, I think that was one of those tip balls that Garoppolo passed. Bourne, he had a a roller coaster of a ride. Like, he started out with that diving catch, like, went through his hands, and I'm thinking, oh, Bourne, you just lost yourself a roster spot, man. But later, a couple great plays, that touchdown reception, looked like an NFL starting wide receiver. So Dante Johnson, also another guy up and down, struggles early, nice pick on a tip ball, some solid tackles and pass deflections later. So a couple guys really really stepped it up after rough starts, too. But, you know, obviously the Garoppolo thing wasn't good. Tevin Coleman, I thought, looked really good, too. He looked like he was decisive. He got the ball, he saw the hole, he made a cut, and he went, which I know is what Shanahan loves in his system. So not a whole lot of downers there. But of course, my boy, you know, Wisnowski, dude, right. Monster Zinc coming through. Huge tackle.
I know you love your punters. We used to have the segment Pinioned Inside the 20 on our old podcast. And so, man, a new segment about... God, well, here's
hits.
Yeah, exactly.
About hits. We're gonna keep track of those. Would you see that they petitioned to get his tackles and hits raised on Madden?
Yeah, that's got to go up. I think it was 37.
It already got approved. It already got passed.
Oh, it did.
They're
okay,
like, yep,
good.
We will.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's something you got to prove, I guess. And all these guys that come from rugby, Australian rules football background, these guys have tackled before, so they're physical and they're ball players, and you love to see that. And it's funny because this is how bad that game was, is the highlight was
yeah.
a tackle from your punter.
On a
that
kickoff.
Was the biggest. Yeah. That was the on a kickoff, yeah. That was the biggest highlight of the game for the 49ers.
I got a little worried, though. Like, they showed a picture of him right after the tackle. I'm like, does he not have a mouthpiece?
He looks like, yeah, he looked like...
you need to get one.
He looked like a guy they just brought off the street. The way it yeah. just, he doesn't have the same... swag, I guess, as the kids would say about how he puts his uniform on and how he puts everything together. And he looked almost a little ginger too when he got up. And I don't know if
right.
I don't think he got hurt or anything like that. But I was like, well,
he also
let's like, let the other guys tackle.
Isn't his job to be back? Like, is he supposed to be the last line of
defense?
That's
the thing. Is he was
charging.
Like, I'm just gonna go tackle this dude. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but he's running right up the middle. Well, I'm not gonna wait. I'm not gonna, you know. And that's the way to do it, because if you're on your heels, then you have this two way go for the runner who can just run around you. It's like, go get him and tackle him.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was fun to watch, man. It was definitely a ooh moment. And those are always good.
And I loved that it wasn't just a nice tackle. It was like this dude realized, oh, okay. This dude just stuffed me. Like, there was no yeah. movement forward at all for the runner. It was like, your momentum is done, and now you're getting driven into the ground.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was all about it.
All right, great stuff. Let's take a quick break and dip into that Locked On 49ers mailbag. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871. To set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find him online at gregstaxservice.com. Let's kick this off with our friend Demetrio. He said, good morning, Brian, Bay Area Wink, and Leo. I have a question for Winky Wednesday. If I asked you to name three of Kyle Shanahan's strengths as a head coach, excluding play calling and play design, what would they be? Thanks and have a great day.
I think number one right out of the gate is just his confidence. You know, he doesn't seem like a guy who second guesses himself too much. You know, like, if it's more along the lines of like, yep, I should have done it differently and I will next time. You know, like, we're going to get it done. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I believe in my system. I believe in my guys and let's go. And as a leader, you need to have that. You need to be that guy.
I like that one. Confidence. Here's my question. Is there overconfidence? Should he be not
be,
quite as confident? But you know what? One thing, right. one thing that is the jury's still out on with him is his player evaluation because he's in charge of the roster too. And I know sure. John Lynch is the GM, but there's been some obvious, especially draft picks, that have been all Shanahan. And right. there have been some big misses. But then he's hit on some guys too. And we'll see this year how the two wide receivers, they're looking like they might be hits, which is a very good thing for him. Because that was Bill Walsh's great thing. He was obviously a great offensive mind, but he understood what he wanted in his offense, and he was able to pluck guys that were amazing, third-round quarterbacks that were Hall of Famers, and the guys who played fullback played in college played halfback for him in the NFL, and trading up to get Jerry Rice ahead of the Cowboys. Imagine how different history would be if the Cowboys would have drafted Jerry Rice and the 49ers didn't trade up to get him. Small school guy, and they saw the talent there to go up and get Jerry Rice. So that's a huge part of what made Bill Walsh so great, and Kyle Shanahan, you know, is considered a genius offensively, and I would worry that he's such a smart guy and he believes in himself so much. Confidence is definitely a strength, but you worry about overconfidence. Does he want his team to be successful? Does he want his offense to be successful because he can draw it up a certain way and make things happen, or does he want to have great players that can go do things despite him, even if he screws up? Because the thing I think about is like, okay, you're playing against the Rams, you're playing against the Chiefs, and they're throwing up 40 points against everybody.
Right.
Can you keep up with that by leaking a fullback out into the flats?
Right.
Like, it's great that you can design this stuff on third and three, but can we score 40, 45 points if that's what it takes?
I mean, it looks like you got a couple playmakers that can do that, though, right? I mean, Richie James is looking explosive. You got Goodwin who can stretch the field. Debo Samuel definitely showed his ability the other day. So the weapons look good. I mean, it's early. Again, very, very early. And man, you mentioned it. What's the difference between confidence and overconfidence? Like, there's an extremely fine line. I think the only real difference between the two is success.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. The results is what makes that one or the other. So I guess the jury's still out on that. But confidence is definitely one of his strengths. And I think that confidence, and I guess it goes into the same, maybe into the same grouping, but I think everyone believes in him. You don't see people second-guessing him. You don't see players not believing in what he's doing. And so I think that's very good because you don't win very many games for a couple seasons. You're not hearing any rumblings, no upset players. There was like one scout trying to create some, like an
make a name for himself
that used to work for the 49ers that's
maybe
talking to people on the side and trying to talk about some strife. That's the only thing we've ever heard negative out of 2+ years now of this regime. I think that's a very good sign.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's like you said, it's one guy who left who's like, I'm going to rock the boat as I leave. Watch this. It's like, no, dude, everybody else is on the same page. You weren't, probably why you're not around.
Right, exactly. So those are all good things. Let's see.
What do you got for number two?
That was
you
my second.
Three.
I want confidence, and I think I think there's leadership involved there. So I would say that he seems to be a good leader of men to where he's got guys – in the right mental state.
I think along those same lines too would be his ability to like connect with his players because he's younger. You know, he actually listens to a lot of the same music I'm sure that the younger guys do. You know, he just has that swag about him too, which I'm sure the guys respect.
And he's a young coach. He's a young head coach. And so there's a lot to learn. And when you see someone like Vic Fangio, who's on the other side of things that paid his dues forever and then finally got his shot, and he's a very old school guy and he doesn't want music playing while he's, you know, while he has practice. And it's not that there's one way that's right and one way that's wrong, but there's two different ways to get respect. There's two different ways to have everybody going in the same direction. And it seems like both those guys kind of have an ability there. So right now, the thing is like, okay, what is, and obviously, because this question's loaded, obviously, from Demetrio. Because the only reason he's head coach in the NFL is because of his play calling and play design and, you know, his offensive mind. So you take that away, not only is he not a head coach, he doesn't have a job in the league, right?
Right.
So that's the, like, it's hard. If you go through any coach in the league or any player in the league and you take out their best trait, are they even in the league?
So yeah, that's a good call.
That's another thing about this question that's somewhat loaded. But I like the question because it's like, okay, what does he bring into the table? And I think there's some things he can definitely get better at. But it's really hard to find, and really, it's hard to know. And maybe after a few more years, and after we've seen this thing play out, you're like, okay, this is exactly who Kyle Shanahan is. This is exactly who Kyle Shanahan is. But right now, we're still kind of learning who he is. I don't think we even came up with three. Is that bad?
We
that
all
telling?
Built off of one.
Ask that question again next year at this time, Demetrio before the 2020 season, and we'll come up with a third one, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have a whole list of things to throw in there.
I'm into that.
This is from Joey on Facebook. It's an old question that I didn't get to because I rarely check the Facebook, and I always forget. So sorry to those people who are trying to holler at me on Facebook. He said, "Hey, Brian, love the podcast. Been a fan since the Gold Faithful days. Hey, I was wondering if you and Nick can do a birthday shout-out to my beautiful bride-to-be, Brittany. We never miss an episode. Actually, when Winky Wednesday gets moved to Tuesdays, it sometimes throws my whole week off."
Me too, buddy.
And he has a question here. So first of all, shout-out. I'm sure Brittany's birthday is already passed now. But shout out to Joey. Shout out to his beautiful bride-to-be, Brittany.
Brittany, happy belated birthday.
Football question. Have you heard any news on how Ross Reynolds has been doing in practice? I noticed he had nice moments in the second half of the Cowboys game. I would love to see this staff develop some younger O-linemen. Did you see number 67 out there?
I did not.
Number 67. Let me double check. I mean, might have his number.
He was playing, I wasn't looking for him, though.
Yeah, in both games, he was playing a little left guard. I don't think he's gotten a ton of pub in practice. He didn't stand out to me in the games, which is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when you and I haven't really been focused on the offensive line so much when I've been watching these first couple of games, and I'm going to go back and watch the second preseason game probably tonight or something just to get a better idea of how some players are looking that I didn't notice when I was watching it live. But
that's what you want with your alignment.
I think he has an opportunity to stick. I would guess practice squad for him because I think they need some more veteran players, and there's a lot of they have some bodies on the offensive line and in the interior, and maybe the injuries will help some of those guys stick, but I think they need some veteran presence here to be the top backups. And so after that, you only have a couple spots left. So I'm thinking Ross Reynolds, practice squad, and then see where he's at.
Yeah, on my list that I made, my notes that I was keeping, you know, at one point, I wrote down McGlinchey because I'm like, I haven't heard anything from him. I haven't seen his guy get to the quarterback or anything. Like, that's a good thing. You know, it's one of those, if you're doing your job, if you're an offensive lineman, if we never know it.
Yep.
If you're just out there and you're pounding and you're keeping your guy away from the quarterback, away from the running back, and you're not getting penalties. And yeah, so I'm in for Reynolds. He hasn't shown up. It's not like, what was 66? Who is that? I heard his name way too many times last night.
Oh, 66 is Turan?
Yes, Turan. Yes. Yeah. I heard it too many times, like penalties and, 66 got beat on that play. And it's like, you had a rough night, dude.
I think Turan had a better game last week than he did.
Right. I saw him jump into center, too, later.
Right, yeah. Both weeks he's played right guard to start, and he jumped in and played center. And so I think it's a good sign for him to make the roster because they need some depth at both of those positions, and they need someone who can play both of those. And it seems like he's the first man up at right guard with both guys that are down now in Mike Person. And I don't know if Garnett is even going to make the team. So
I know.
At center, you've got Richburg that's out. They're hoping he's going to be back. Kyle Shanahan in the conference call said that he's hoping that Richburg will be available for week one.
That's
good. Might even get some action in the fourth preseason game just so he can be ready for week one. And then it's Ben Garland's been the guy that's been playing center. And then after him, it's been Turan who's jumped over from right guard to center. So that's a good sign for Turan to make the team. And you just don't want to see flags being thrown his way. And I know how much you hate offensive linemen that collect a lot of flags.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love offensive linemen. I was one when I first started playing football. But yeah, don't draw the flags, guys. Come on.
76 is Ross Reynolds. I got that backwards, not 67.
Okay.
So yeah, look for him. He'll be playing left guard.
I will. I'll go back and watch the
tape. I like what little I've seen from Ross Reynolds, but not a lot has jumped out, which is both good and bad. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is super easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get up to $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, and $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code Locked On. Don't forget, that's promo code Locked On for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Email from Adam. Just like our logic behind improving the pass rush this offseason to pressure the quarterback into making forced throws, did the Broncos put a clinic on for how to beat Garoppolo this season? He's obviously uncomfortable scrambling and stepping up in the pocket on that leg. And is this something that will be a glaring weakness all season?
Yeah, Chubb looked like a beast, man.
He's a beast, yeah. Absolutely. Every quarterback hates pressure. Like, that should be every team's number one goal, is to pressure the other team's quarterback.
So, yes, he did. They did put on a clinic on how to beat Garoppolo and every other quarterback.
And every other quarterback. And look, this is Garoppolo's first snaps in a game.
Sure.
And he can't get touched in practice either. So this is the first live bullets he's seen, and he can actually get hit now. So we'll see if it becomes a problem. And I think there was another question. Let's see if I can find it. Someone asking if he needs to get hit.
Yeah. And well, that's just it. He didn't get hit. He got rid of the ball too quick.
This is from Amit. I hope I said his name right. A-M-I-T. Amit. Amit. He says, shout out to little Leo, first of all. Thank you very much. Leo's napping currently. After Monday's game, do you think Jimmy G just needs to be hit one time because of how jittery he was? He was skittish the entire time, and sometimes a player just needs to get hit in the face and survive to settle down, which he never did.
Yeah, I do think that. You know, also, let's remember, this is the preseason. The 49ers aren't going to roll out their top plays. You know, these are basic plays, you know, and they're trying to improve on things. It's like when he threw five picks. I did listen to that episode when you were predicting the 53, and you're like, okay, first cut is Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you know, let's not overreact to this as well. It was a bad performance, but, you know, maybe he's out there. You know, they were trying new things, and he didn't read it right, you know, or it was, you know, he did get pressure, and so he was like, okay, I'm not getting hit. I'm not going to go down in a preseason game. So hopefully, if that is the case, he can shake that kind of rust off and that kind of fear when the games actually matter.
Maybe Wisnowski needs to hit him one time in practice.
Boom, in practice.
Right?
Just let them, yeah, I love it.
Don't even tell him about it. Like, everyone will just be sitting there. They'll be jogging off the field between. They'll be like, okay, special teams now. The offense runs off the field. Special teams is running on. And Wisnowski just plows
him. Hits him.
And
yeah.
And then picks
just
him up.
Blindside,
like, okay,
too. So he's
I'm
like,
good.
Yeah. So he's not expecting it. So he's not bracing for it on his leg or anything. He just gets, you know, his legs taken out. Yeah. Somebody could sneak in behind with a pad, too, and he could just land on the pad.
And you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get flushed out of the pocket. Week 3 of the preseason in Kansas City, he'll be running down the left sideline.
Right.
And it'll be like, oh my God.
And he'll slide.
He'll run out of bounds. He'll run out of bounds so fast.
Yeah.
Or just throw the ball directly into the ground as soon as he leaves the pocket.
Exercise the demons.
Let's go to Aaron. He said, the Sea Chickens like to pick up players that we cut. We see this happen every year. Which two players could you see getting cut where Seattle would swoop them up? He said, mine are Adrian Colbert and Malcolm Smith.
Hey, Aaron, those are good guesses, man.
They've already gone down the Malcolm Smith road.
Yeah.
Adrian Colbert, absolutely. I could see that 100%.
Or Dante Johnson if he doesn't make the squad. He's got a little bit of good tape he can put out there.
Dante Johnson's already gone Niners to Seahawks, back to Niners. He'd go to the Seahawks one more time.
Right. There's like, oh, you're familiar with the system. Like, that would be my number one.
Right. Yeah, the system familiarity and just seeing those guys. And I'm sure Adrian Colbert has played well enough and flashed on film against the Seahawks that they would want to take a look at someone like him. And Colbert's definitely the type of guy that would get picked up by another team around the league.
What about Kendrick Bourne?
What about C.J. Beathard when he gets cut?
Yeah. Whoa, there you go. Yeah, who's the backup up there?
Oh, given all kinds of information, too. The backup up there now is, let's see, it was Brett Hundley last year. He is now in Arizona.
He is?
Yeah, he's on the Cardinals now.
I know. I saw him somewhere. I'd like to watch the preseason highlights from around the league.
Yeah, he actually looked a lot better.
Than your younger brother? Than everyone's younger brother?
Who's everyone's younger brother?
Kyler Murray.
Why is he everyone's younger brother?
Because he's tiny. He's like that little brother that comes out and plays football with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Kyler Murray
goes out and plays
there with
the big kids.
I think it's
freshman that gets called up to varsity.
Who's the Ohio State quarterback from a few years ago before Dwayne Haskins?
I was gonna say Haskins. Man, you got me there. Isn't he Cardale Jones?
Cardale Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Look at that.
Cardale Jones. Yeah.
I don't even watch college football.
I don't know if that's him, but I've seen.
Damn it. I thought I had it.
I got to look it up now because I just saw their game. And Geno Smith, that's right. Oh, Paxton Lynch, too. Oh, JT Barrett. So JT Barrett is the name I was thinking of. He was in the fourth quarter. Paxton Lynch took a massive hit to the noggin.
He did.
Did you see that hit? And so
yeah, it was scary.
He might be out for a bit. Geno Smith, though, is the backup to Russell Wilson. I think Lynch was trying to compete there, and it's looking like he might not.
Oh, speaking of injuries, do we know anything about Tart?
No, I have not seen the latest on Tart. Let me double check.
Because he was playing well. I thought he looked good out there.
Do you know who Donna Tart is?
No.
I typed in Tart, and Donna Tart was the first
name. It was the first one with two T's?
I was surprised like that. Born in 1963, American writer, author of novels The Secret History, The Little Friend, and The Goldfinch.
Oh, perfect. Of course.
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Classics.
So, Kwaski, you got to do some things to get the number one Tart spot on Google.
Yeah, hopefully he does. So he comes out and gets 10 picks this year.
So he was evaluated for a concussion.
Okay.
And that's all we know.
Okay. I'm glad it's not physical. You know, I mean, you don't want to mess with the brain, obviously, but.
Yeah, it's not a broken leg. It's not an ACL.
It's not the high ankle. Nagged you all year. It's not plantar fasciitis.
And he was all over the place, man.
He was.
It's good to see Tart in there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Active.
Should we talk a little fantasy football?
We better do that before we get out of here. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we have one spot to give away, right? The very last spot?
The very last spot. We got all kinds of great names. You want to throw some names out there that you think should be in the running?
I think some of the best ones I saw, I liked Finding Debo, but then someone already in the league has Home Debo, which I like even better.
Yeah, so you got to throw that one out. I got a lot of Wishnowski Upon a Star.
I liked The Big Wishnowski because The Big Lebowski is one of my favorite movies of all time. So definitely that's a very strong one.
I saw Gore More Years, which was good.
Multiple Gorgasms, I think, was another one.
Yeah, solid. Yeah, Awesome Wada Mouth. You never go Awesome Wada Mouth, so that one is out.
Let's see. Oh, The Herd Locker. Not bad.
Uh-huh.
A lot of movie references.
Yeah, Dante's Inferno, The Bourne Legacy, a bunch of Kittle ones, too, like Kittle Corn and Kittle and Bits.
Oh, by the way, the Kittle ones, Kittle Corn, Kittles and Bits, and the Bourne Legacy stuff, those are so old and played out already from the last couple of years, so those were automatically X'd out.
Somebody threw a Chili Buns in there.
I like that.
Yeah.
But you can't name your team after me if I'm playing against you. I don't like that.
I like that. Okay, I'm into that. Shot of Jaquiski Tart. Crazy Shanahanigans, which is good.
Not bad.
Any that really stood out to you? Any that you really liked?
I think my favorites were The Big Wishnowski and The Herd Locker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are both good.
Those
good,
would be
good.
My two choices personally. But it's up to you.
Yeah.
This is it's your choice. So whichever one struck you is the one I think we should go with.
There's so many good ones out there, man. We could sit here all day and just keep naming them.
There's a lot of good ones. And we had so many entries, too, that... Just
yeah. Good Willis Hunting, you know, which is super topical.
That's really good. That's good. I love that one.
With what we're talking about now, you know, Jersey Shore, because of our Jersey talk. I mean, it's if you listen to the pod, you start throwing around stuff like that. Quantum Mechanics.
Mm-hmm. I like
those
it.
Quantum Shut Mechanics. The Frank Gore. That might be my favorite one yet. Shut the Frank Gore. Oh man, I'd vote for that one to be honest because it just made me literally laugh out loud.
That one definitely tickled you the most.
It did, it did. But you know, this is a two way street here. If you want to, you know,
this is your baby
for one of yours.
You make the call. I give you my two favorites, but it's all about what your favorite is.
All right, Shannon Kennedy, you have won with Shut the Frank Gore. You got to keep the exclamation point in there too. That's fantastic.
There was a few that were too long to fit in actual fantasy team names, so I think that automatically disqualifies some people.
I hope Shut the Frank Gore can fit. I mean, you know, just put it all together. You
I think
know,
that
you
should fit,
rid
yeah.
of the E and the, you make it work. We all know what happened. So, so draft date, August 25th, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you can't make it and you're in the league, give your spot away. Let us know. Don't be that guy. Don't make us call you out, you know, on the podcast for auto-drafting because that just ruins it. Everybody,
that is this Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah. So you know, if you can't make it and you did win, I'll save you a spot next year. Like we'll make sure you get in it next year because you know you clearly did something to get involved, and you know you don't want to totally miss out. But at the same time, let's have all 14 people show up for this thing. It'll be awesome.
Absolutely, looking forward to it. We're out of time here, Nick. Thanks again, as always. Congrats to Shannon for being the final participant in this year's Locked On 49ers Fantasy League.
Yeah, man. My pleasure, buddy.
Talk to you guys tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.